Greetings, comrades, and welcome to the Eastern Border. This time we're having a bunch of things to talk about. On the first part, we're obviously going to touch Igor Girkin and what he says about the front. So let's start with that one. So, quoting him, apparently in the Sumsk direction, there have been assaults, some activization of the Russian Federation forces. However, the whole depth and intensity of the operation has not been known yet, but apparently Ukrainians are fighting back. Now, there have been some statements about the liberation of Siversk by the Russian government, which have all turned out to be lies, and apparently, well, the Russian government is still just throwing out conscripts to the whole situation. Then, in the same direction, in the last three day-night cycles, 24-hour cycles, we call it sutka, by the way. In Russian, we call it sutka. In Latvian, we call it diennakt. Near Odeyevka, that's because military time is used, the Donetsk People's Republic have been, you know, their volunteers have been sent into assault, into front lines, and, you know, despite the fact that everyone else, you know, has been stating that these attacks will fail, they've been sent into assaults, just to basically calm down the reorganization of the Ukrainian forces, thus ensuring that they will not be able to respond when the time comes. But they will, because currently, apparently, the Russians are failing at every assault that they make, and Ukrainians are succeeding by just using artillery. Let's go HIMARS! But you knew all of that before this episode. But that's the short thing. Russians are not pushing forward anywhere, because the front line for them is a bit calcified. Ukrainians are gathering their strengths for a major push, which is most likely going to come in the area of Kherson, in the south of Ukraine. At least that's what I expect, and, you know, as far as I can be considered an expert in anything, really. But more on some more philosophical things today. I mean, I was on a recent podcast that I went on to and I spoke about, well, a person contacted me and they told that I'm a Nazi. Well then, that's great, I suppose. I mean, calling me a Nazi when they say that the Bandera was, you know, and still is, the leader of Ukrainian Nationalist Party, even though Bandera apparently, as people tell me, was, you know, was killed by KGB in 1959, always fun. However, I kind of thought about this, and I have to be honest with you, Maxim Katz, one of the Russian journalists that that makes episodes about this war on a daily basis, he sort of, you know, kind of related to me this information, and I was inspired by him. So Maxim Katz, credit to him, but he speaks about the fact that, you know, normally, according to historical data and historical analysis, you would expect that younger people are pro-war, because young males tend to be aggressive. That's what we are. I mean, I'm not that young anymore. I'm 33. However, well, people in their 20s tend to be more aggressive, more risk-inclined. In general, they just tend to be more kind of like the people who don't have something to lose, you know, they don't have families or homes or whatever. And yet, these are the people who are most against this war. Now, what's happening there is that in Russia, the isekai genre is getting popularity. And I'm calling it isekai because that's the first, you know, name for the whole thing. I mean, in Japan, isekai means a genre of anime where the lead character is transported from, well, the everyday life into some unforeseen circumstance. And he has to deal with the troubles there. This might seem very common to you because it is. It's been a trope for literature for so many years now. However, in isekai, this is getting a name. So, well, right now in Russia, the extreme popularity has been gained by these isekai sort of novels. You know, a man, usually in his 40s or 50s, gets transported into some time in the past where he fixes some, well, terrible offense to Russia. At one point in the recent book, the most popular one currently in Russia from this genre, a man from the Soviet Union fixes the fact that CIA caused the dissolution of the Soviet Union. Previously, we were talking about Tanzer killed Hitler's, all this stuff. There's a heavy, heavy arm of the Russian propaganda that is now trying to kind of move the Russian people in a way that they probably wouldn't approve of. They're trying to push this isekai genre. And like I said, I'm calling this isekai only because that's the best name how I can call it for. Short one. Otherwise, we're talking about people being moved to different times or something. It's not exactly alternate history, but kind of works. So, it's a massive, massive popular genre, and most people reading it, apparently, according to the publishing house data, are these 50-plus-year-old Russians. Which is why we can actually figure out and see why, well, if you want someone to volunteer for your military operation, then in Russia, it's not 20-year-olds, as you would expect, it's these 50-year-olds who've read these books. And not just that. In normal countries, if you're about 40 or 50, then you have a family, then you've achieved something, and then, well, you've moved on to something, you have something to lose, and you don't want a war, you want trade, business, something like that, right? In Russia, the situation is a bit different. The situation is that you probably feel like you've wasted 20 years of your life. So, in a way, with this war, they've been trying to kind of recapture this image of past glory. Now, if you think about it, Stalin, even Stalin, yes, Man of Steel, Uncle Joe, my best buddy, even he tried to build a new ideology for the whole country. I mean, the Soviet nation was built upon this idea that a new Soviet man shall build a bright future for everyone. And what do we have now? We have poor imitations of 1960s pioneers. And a generation of people that don't understand why the younglings are not screaming to get back the old Soviet ice cream, which was shit, by the way. It's just that you were 20 years younger, 30 years younger, and your dick still functioned, and you could still have healthy sexual relationships with people. Or maybe not healthy, I don't know. I mean, these days you can never know. And like, people are asking me and all these things, but, you know, like I said recently, I was interviewed on this podcast, and now we know that on the 1st of August, a homophobia picnic shall be held in Yekaterinburg. They're not pro-life, they're not pro-family, they're not pro-anything. They're homophobic, openly. They want to punch gay people. Why? Because they're gay. And that's not Nazism. You know, tolerating such people apparently is. It's beyond hilarious already. It's gotten to the point where it's silly. I mean, I posted it on Twitter, and if you follow me on Twitter, thank you. And if you don't, well then please @Eastern_border or there. We want to reach 20,000 followers there to get that blue check mark. That's the only task. I really don't care about social media that much. I just want that blue check mark for legitimacy reasons, because then maybe someone will start to take me seriously. It's all a bit weird. But we have a homophobia meeting, yes, and in Russia, openly. At the same time, you know, they're lacking an ideology. Even the Nazis, even the Stalin, like, even the Nazis had some ideology behind them. Even Stalin had some. But this is just ridiculous. I mean, we have a country that's so focused on the past that they refuse to move forward a bit. Anyone who does anything, even a slight bit, you know, active, and even a slight bit trying to improve the lives and build something better for everyone, yeah, they're looked as the outcast. They're looked at as some people who would, you know, rather destroy the old sanctity of life and everything, which is bullshit. I mean, you can't dwell in the past all the time, and if you do, well, then this happens. This is why we have, like, 50-year-old men trying to relive their glory days through some isekai novel rather than some new kids in their early 20s trying to build a better future. Because even in the USSR, even the Soviet Union, even then, building a better future was the goal that was done by the young people. Here, well, it's done by, in Putin's Russia, it's done by people who used to be young one day. Right now, they're, well, old. They should be relaxing, chilling out, doing something, I don't know, a bit more useful, like picking up mushrooms. We like to pick up mushrooms in these parts, but that's kind of weird. And then there are people in the internet who are like crazy about the HIMARS deliveries and how all of this has escalated the conflict. No, it hasn't. I mean, I spoke about emotionally in the whole episode, last episode. I'm sorry about that, but I was just super stunned. I have, just to fix this. And this will tie up together nicely, I promise you. This has two errors that I made. One, Vinnytsia is not 80 kilometers from the front lines, it's 350. And secondly, yeah, the fact that Bandera was killed in 1959 and 1945. You know, I sometimes make mistakes. Sorry about that. But in total, we live in a society where no matter what these people do, they will be angered by whatever you do, and they will try to push their own definitely outdated by this point, views on the planet and the world as they see fit. And even though, you know, we're younger than them, and even though we might make mistakes, well then, you know, and this is a saying to everyone who's maybe in an older generation, how would you feel if your parents wouldn't have allowed you to make the same mistakes? Would you turn up the same way? No. Everyone needs to make their own mistakes. We're kind of organized like that, didn't you think? And at least my generation, you know, people in their 30s, we didn't start this war. Putin's 69. Maybe it's the generation who's in their late 60s to blame for the woes of the world instead of the people in their 30s, especially with the current housing prices. If you adjust by inflation and everything, yeah, the salaries have been growing way more slowly than any housing price. It's all complicated. But so is everything in general. We're going to see much more ridiculous excuses anyways. At any rate, I'm preparing an episode, a full one, with editing and everything. I'll be sending this to Annette very soon, where I will work on something totally different from my usual episodes. You see, recently on the internet, there have been some movement about how to become a podcaster, a social media influencer, a YouTuber, you know, all this, how to get famous super fast. And though these are courses which people are selling, starting from like $15 to $400 and more dollars. And that's a bit scary, since, well, that's a lot of money to a lot of people, including myself, since, you know, I'm a podcaster and journalist. But it's all not what it's cracked up to be honest. And I just thought that as this is a massive problem for kids, I could address that in an episode or something. I hope you'll find this interesting, because that's not Soviet-related, that's not war-related, but that'll come out. I'll give a proper warning at the beginning, and of course my news episodes will continue. I just want to make a proper debunking thing that maybe you can, you know, give your teenager, and so that they would listen to it and learn something. I mean, that's an option. Otherwise, well, Girkin has still to prove me wrong about his involvement in the Major 17, although he denies it all the time. And we'll try to, you know, focus more on what's happening. I mean, my arm is fine. Just need to go to Ukraine, although it's kind of hard to plan everything out, because of my United States trip and all that stuff. Everything's a bit weird. At any rate, please consider becoming our patron at patreon.com/theeasternborder. До свидания, товарищи. And remember, happiness is mandatory.